pretend to show success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity. United we stand, divided we fall.
Come back to me, baby. Welcome one and all to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. Special guest conceivably on the line for the, well, presumably most of the duration of the show. It's Doc Bean of the Sacramaniacs. If you can go and listen to his show at thewatchman.fm right on after my show every day on some other network, I don't know which. Doc, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And it's always a pleasure to be on the air with you guys.
Well, unfortunately, Will's not with us at the moment. He's going to be a bit late today. But, you know, for the meantime, there's an awful lot to talk about. I got this one from the Intel Hub about the flashback to the military-industrial complex prepares mass graves for U.S. citizens. Turns out that after the March 25th, 2009 article, the discovery of coffins and stuff like this, it's all back into the swing again, eh? And, you know, there's all lots of this fear-mongering going on. Supposedly there's these missing nukes that Israel is postulating to threaten the U.S. with. You know, it's a whole bunch of real creepy, terrible prospects, Doc.
You know what, man? I've gotten to do a couple of radio programs, guest appearances, where this was kind of the line of questioning the general area of concern of folks these days, and I think that they're right. I think that the reason, you know, a lot of folks had thought that these graves might have been for flu, you know, a terrible flu or something of that nature. But after reading the grand chessboard, I'm convinced that we're looking at a pre-World War II type scenario. The pieces all fit. Looks like I think, in my personal opinion, that we're going to have an escalation of this trade war and this trade embargo and this currency war into a outright war over the resources of the Baltic states, which they say is three-quarters of the world's natural resources that are left. And that plan is spelled out clearly in Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, The Grand Chessboard, written 14 years ago. And it's amazing how the pieces are falling into place. It's just, it's eerily scary.
These people always do what they say they're going to do, eh, Doc?
But, man, and listen, the guy is the founder of the Trilateral Commission and a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. So I'm fairly certain, and both of those institutions are dedicated to what? Creating a global government.
Abolishing the United States.
Yeah, a global government.
Welcome to the New World Order, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Doc Bean from Doc Bean from thewatchman.fm and VinnyEastwoodShow.com. We'll be right back.
Unity, please don't desert me.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is noble, my tower secure, my cause is noble.
I got control of everything. I want to kill everybody, and I want the world all for myself. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show with Will, the lighter side of genocide. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A very special guest, Doc Bean from thewatchman.fm, joins us, and as always, we're going to have a few laughs whilst we talk about the most terrible genocide that could ever conceivably be performed on humanity. Now, on that note, We've been talking about these mass burial coffins and eugenic campaigns for a while, and false flag operations and all these different military stratagem that are used on people in order to get them all really, really afraid so that they'll accept whatever the government says and then basically give all their rights away, take total control. I think that this is coming to a head right now, and I believe you're correct, Doc, that we might be heading for a third world war, kind of seems to be postulated somewhat. After all, there hasn't been an enormously major war in, 60 years or something like that? But then again, the United States has never not been at war since World War II.
You're absolutely correct about that. I was going to add perpetual war. It's starting to shape up like the reason that we entered these conflicts that we have over there, right, is to get forces on the ground over there. And you notice by Obama's trip to India, his insistence upon them having a seat on the UN Security Council, offering them, they offered them basically top secret technology that was previously banned from being imported outside of the country. They've offered that to India. And you can bet that those kind of agreements did not happen unless there was a significant military agreement with India. And again, that's the way the chessboard is set up. That's the way that Zbigniew Brzezinski called it. And basically the idea is, and if you're thinking in terms of a global government, right, you have to think of there can't be a nation left standing powerful enough to oppose this government. And so how do you weaken them all? Well, you pit China against India. That drags Iran and Russia into it because they have a mutual defense pact signed with their Shanghai Cooperation Organization agreement. You have America with troops over there already on the ground. And so, and the EU as our ally would fall in to that conflict as well. It would be interesting to see what side of it that Turkey would fall in and Pakistan would fall in on that, simply because the majority of who would be considered our allies' enemies would be Muslims, and those two nations, I think, might have some difficulty with that. So it looks to me like they've reached a point where they can't get past, number one, our Constitution here. Number two, the world is just not accepting this whole climate change or climate disruption or global warming or whatever the new name is, which was designed to be the great crisis that took care of these things and brought in this world government. So, when that happens, what they do, I'm sorry, I explained to you guys that, of course, I'm stuck here. I produce our radio shows as well, and we've been getting hacked all day, and that certainly just happened right now, so excuse me. When they reach that point, they do what's called either they introduce a new crisis or they just kick the chessboard and start over, meaning a war like World War One. Or World War II, or something along the lines of pitted against a China-Russia-Iran alliance.
It has to be major powers versus other major powers in order to be a conflict of any total substance that would likely drag the world in. And after everybody battles against each other, sends all their young men off to die, and the person who wins as the one who's got the most men standing at the end of the battle. It doesn't make any rational sense if you're trying to accomplish anything for the good of mankind.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but if your goal is depopulation, if your goal is a global weakening of economies, nation states, and in this type of conflict, you're looking at the type of suffering that they believed they could create a world government with before. If you remember, after World War One, the League of Nations was created to create a global government. And when that fell apart, immediately World War II happened. And out of World War II, we got the United Nations. And they've come this far, and now they're stuck. And so it stands to reason, when you look at history, and the parallels to history right now are just amazing, such as the way World War II started with a currency war, then a trade embargo, which we are currently in. China is already embargoing rare earth elements, and it looks to be that that's going to escalate very soon, the currency war. And because of the embargo on Japan, you know, whether folks believe Japan was a false flag, whether it was allowed to happen, Japan decided to go to war because they didn't have the resources because of the embargoes. If they do a financial embargo to America, it's, you know, I believe it was, they're even admitting it on Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck now, that we've got 15 days before utter collapse here. So there's really no other option outside of war, I think, for them now. And that's a scary prospect indeed.
Well, I wouldn't think that the war was the option that they were putting the last resort on. I think this is something that was put in place long, long time ago. Have a massive war, one more step. It's funny, you know, you look at World War One, World War Two, and then you look at League of Nations, United Nations. World War Two was a much larger conflict, much higher death count, much higher destruction, higher advances in technology as a result of war research. Of course. And United Nations is born much stronger. So maybe if they're going to up the ante like this, maybe it's just a example of technology. I mean, what would a war, a true war in this day and age, with all the guns and all the cannons and all the missiles and all the satellites and all this, what would the world look like? It would look pretty desolate very, very quickly. So I would think that nobody in their right mind would ever conceivably want to start a conflict of this magnitude. Which means that anybody who is simply is not in their right mind. These people are absolutely crazy. And this is what I've been saying to people the whole time. That every time somebody gets ridiculous amounts of power and or influence, they become absolutely out of their mind.
Well, it's that whole God complex thing they get, I guess. I mean, when you look at power, people that crave power, because the folks that are in charge, the guys pulling the strings, it's not about money with them. They don't need money. Most of them were born with so much money that money was simply something like air that they had. So what is it that somebody likes that craves? Well, it's power. And if you don't have power over everything, in other words, to basically bend everyone to your will, then you create that situation because that's their ultimate goal. And the worst part of it is, and I love they're not in their right mind, because I say that they're all Marxists, which would make them in their left mind. but you have to look at then, what is it that they want? Well, if they're the uber-humanists that most of them are, humanism believing the celebration of all things human, and that basically striving for the goal of ultimate human happiness. If you look at it on that level, what would ultimate human happiness be? Well, it's not just a matter of ruling. It's a matter of basically being able to live out whatever the high-cost fantasies they may have, whether it be to travel to Mars, which they're talking about, or whether it be to extend their lives. These are the things that they're going to strive for. And so they're going to twist reality, they're going to twist morals into whatever feels good, whatever reaches the goal that I need to get to is then okay, because I am striving for ultimate human happiness and happiness of that kind for mankind. And that's a scary proposition when you look at that, because that's a moralless, that's a godless, that's a world without right and wrong, where everything can be justified if it can be shown to be better in the end for mankind to reach ultimate happiness. And it sounds neat like on the surface, but it's
like a psychopath's paradise.
Yeah, Insanity.
Oh, yes. Sunning yourself in torture and violent control over your lesser human buddies.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. I think William Cooper had it best when he talked about the funny thing about him when he talked about the beliefs of the elite, excluding everything else. I really think that he had it right, because he didn't talk a lot about where maybe their bloodlines came from or whatever. He stuck strictly to their value system and what they believed, I guess religiously is how I would say it, even though some folks would call it Luciferian. It isn't that they believed in a god or a devil. It's that they believed in the illuminated term of that, because it means light bearer or the light. And so I really enjoyed his particular definition, because his definition spelled out their character, the drive, what it was they were striving to get to, and why so many things like sterilization can be on the table, getting rid of a faulty gene pool, starting a war that's going to be mandatory nuclear, because that's our doctrine. Our doctrine is preemption. China's doctrine is preemption, and Russia's doctrine is preemption. That's nuclear preemption.
That reminds me, there was a Chinese sub that popped out not very, very close to a 4,500-manned aircraft carrier while they were running operations near the South China Sea. It's a little bit of a warning to them. They didn't know that the Chinese could get in that close undetected. And this happened about a year ago, I think, in August. And just recently, we've had a missile fire off the coast of California, and nobody knows where it came from. Everybody's looking around saying, this is crazy, man. Then the DOD says, I don't know nothing, no, there was no missile, etc., etc. But you can see this massive trail, man, just went...
You mean that wasn't an airplane?
No!
I've kind of got some inside track on that. Well, I'm not going to tell you I have inside track on that particular event. And what I have is a very good friend of mine who was second in command of on a nuclear sub for a lot of years, and during the Cold War. And so when that missile launch happened, the first thing I did was call him, because I was in the Army, right? I don't know a thing about subs, but I do know about our tactics. And so what I did is I told him, hey, you know, you saw, and he said, yeah, I saw. I said, so what's the deal? Is it Chinese, or is this something that we do? And he said, well, during the Cold War, we used to do that every time they buzzed our carrier groups with a group of bear bombers. We would fire a warning shot, a test missile, up there in the Arctic Circle from one of our boomers. Okay. And as a warning. And he said it looked to him as if that was us basically reminding China that our nuclear arsenal, that's said to be able to wipe out half of the planet by itself, is underwater and undetectable. And that postulation towards us and rhetoric like was being used, and their doctrine of preemption could not save them from mutually assured destruction. And he was very confident that it was that. However, another one of our hosts talked to somebody who said it might have even been a Russian sub. And he has a little bit of an inside track, too. So there's conflicting stories, but it fits with what we used to do to Russia when they would go at our carrier groups with a bear bomber group. And it just seems to fit. It was in the Pacific rather than, of course, in the Arctic. Is in the Pacific. So it's tough to say.
War is war.
You know? Intrigue is intrigue, you bet.
Well, I don't see any point in it, really. I mean, in one of my videos, I covered this Israel protest, right? Five people got arrested for blowing whistles.
Say what?
Five people got arrested for blowing whistles at a protest.
What were they classified as a destructive device? Like a bazooka, like pistol grip shotguns are now?
Oh, well, they also arrested the leaders of the protest as well.
That's insane. Plus
with the megaphones. And then the crowd kind of dissipated as the everybody got carried off by the paddy wagon. All to save the nice tennis game of a woman named Shahar Peer, who was a proud member of the IDF. And I thought, and I said in that video, where the F is peaceful dialogue?
Well, you know, peaceful dialogue in protesting, I'm just going to tell it to you like I've been telling folks for a while now. That waving sign stuff is they're not impressed with sign wavers. And it may be different in New Zealand, but in America, the Marxists did not come to power through waving signs. They came to power through the bombing of the Pentagon, through firebombing ROTC buildings, murdering policemen, and attempting to storm the House of Representatives and Congress in D.C. for an entire week. That is how they came to power here. And so they're not impressed with your signs. And they never will be impressed with your signs because they know what it takes to change a nation. And if we're not willing to realize, one, what they will believe from us, what they've done, then there's no way they're ever going to take us seriously, and waving signs is not going to do it. We have to show the same will to restore our nations as they had to change them.
Yep, it takes a opposing force of equal or greater value to change an equation. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. A very special guest is Doc Bean from TheWatchman.fm, listening on the live streams at www.TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Dino, I'm not Tita Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where'd you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights with commercial slavery.
They print a it's time to stop doing what you're told. Don't do what you're told. Because the worst atrocities that have ever been committed have been committed by people who are just doing what they were told. So if nobody did everything that they were told, there wouldn't be any atrocities. That's something that an artist called Banksy said. I think it rings true. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. A very special guest is Doc Bean from TheWatchman.fm. Doc, welcome back.
Thank you guys for having me, man. It's always fabulous. And yeah, tonight is a very important topic, so I'm really glad to be here.
Well, please continue on, because we do have to talk about this kind of doomsday scenario once in a while, because obviously it comes up every couple of years or so. Somebody says, "Oh, this particular date is going to be doomsday," or something from some particular prophet. I don't know how many doomsdays I've lived through.
Well, you know, and you're correct on that. A lot of folks have talked about, this is happening or that's happening, and it doesn't happen, doesn't come to pass. In fact, there was something, I don't know, called a tipping point or whatever. I didn't pay much attention, but I saw a couple videos on it. Of course, none of that stuff happened. But there is differences this time, folks, and that is this. You saw whole shows on mainstream media, Glenn Beck for one, dedicated to things like hyperinflation. And the entire focus of the show was stock up on food. Have you ever heard the mainstream media tell you that you need to have at least 3 months of food in your house? Ever? I haven't. And I've been telling folks for 2 years they need to have at least 6 months of food in their house.
Well, and we have. What we have our civil defense telling people that they need enough food and water for at least 3 days.
3 whole days. Yeah, that'll... Yeah, well...
We're in New Zealand, there's food everywhere. Yeah, yeah. So, of course, there's going to be plenty to eat in the suburbs of Mount Eden where all the builders have left all their toxic rubbish and everything just in the soil and didn't even cover it over with topsoil, so no plants will really grow in it.
Well, the difference about here is that anybody who ever said it for years, they called nuts. And then... How many shows have you heard them talk about the New World Order now coming? Even Rush Limbaugh, of all people, Rush Limbaugh was talking about, and I didn't believe it. I had to go listen. And I didn't, because I took it personal because he made a big attack on a lot of hosts like me that were telling folks, hey, The most important things you can have right now, when the entire world tells America that you're heading for a Weimar Republic, including the nation that had the Weimar Republic, and we continue down the path anyway of a 20%, then that's just they're telling us devaluation so far that they've approved to our currency. The three most important things you can possibly own for short-term, if in an economy collapse, short-term wealth would be gold or silver. Second, you need all the guns and ammunition you can possibly have, because when it goes bad, everybody that didn't get ready, the most dangerous person you're going to run into is a father who did not stock up enough food to feed his children, and they're going hungry. That's going to be the most dangerous guy you're going to find, and with good reason. He's going to want to be looking out for his family. He's going to remember which ones of you have stocked up. And you'll probably see him at your door. Maybe nice the first time, but probably not so nice after that. And it'll only get worse. The last thing, of course, would be a supply of food. And a supply of also the seeds or maybe livestock for you to go from your stored food to being independent. And that's scary, because the Great Depression, that was possible. In fact, most people were independent that way, for the most part. Almost no one is today.
About 90% of people during the Great Depression grew their own food in rural areas, and 10% of people lived in cities. Today, 90% of people live in cities, and 10% of people live in rural areas and grow their own food. So imagine you drop a depression into that mix, because during the other depression, there was, something like 4 or 10 million deaths, I forget which, in the United States alone.
Most definitely. Most definitely.
And we're talking about a crisis of absolute epic proportions. Mass graves would absolutely be necessary, because, hey, people starving to death everywhere. You know, all the food's gone. Think about the Gulf oil cano. The entire Gulf of Mexico is now contaminated, as far as I see it. They're pulling in shrimp that are contaminated. They're pulling in fish that are contaminated. The dolphins are swimming inshore looking for food because there's nothing in the deep waters. And how many people's livelihoods are on that? And more to the point, what's it going to do to land-based food prices of, chickens and pork and whatnot? So simultaneously we're going to have a food shortage and a price hike and an economic depression and a war. It's going to be absolute pandemonium.
Well, to me, the war is to avoid the pandemonium at first, at least because the war, having a war serves a purpose, okay? Pandemonium from a currency collapse and a food hyperinflation, I'm not going to call it a collapse, the food will be there like it was in Russia's collapse, but nobody will be able to afford to buy it. And that would turn sentiments away from the government. A war tends to create patriotism, even if they have to, like, have a Gulf of Tonkin event, right, which is, I guess has been fully exposed as a false flag now, to rally patriotism behind a war. So to me, the war option at this point, because of it looks like the euro is going to collapse. I believe it's Ireland that's decided that it's just going to default. And that looks like it's going to tank the euro. If the euro tanks, it's going to be pandemonium over there, along with here, because we're tied to the euro, and it's not going to be pretty. And I just believe that these governments do not want that many people around the globe, especially since the global agenda tends to be centered in the EU with the idea of U.S. military backing as their main concept, at least in the short term. And so what makes sense then is to carry folks with patriotism into the last great war. And beyond that great war, because we know about preemption and those things, the chaos in the aftermath would create the kind of attitudes in people that would decide to fall in behind the government, that would tell them, we can prevent all wars, we can make sure that everybody has something equally, especially in a destroyed world like it will be, and, you know, we'll build things in a more fair collectivist fashion. And I just think in that circumstance, all the cards then become in the elite's favors, because those folks don't fight the wars. They finance them and live to finance another day.
Hey, now that would be the latest Bond film, you know, to finance another day.
Exactly. So it's scary times we live in. And a lot of you guys know I'm a Christian, too, my research I do outside my personal religious belief, but when the research that I do parallels my religious belief, sometimes I feel it's important to point out certain aspects. And so some folks may or may not believe in God, and you're welcome to that. But it does talk about a great war happening. And interestingly enough, in the Bible, nations are represented by animals, and there's at least three of the current nations that they're talking about that are represented by those animal depictions: the lion, the leopard, the bear, and the dragon. So that's kind of interesting, right? You have Iran, Russia, and China in that group right there. So that's kind of scary when you think about it. And I had to put that in there because it parallels those things.
Well, there's the funny thing, isn't it? A Rastafarian friend of mine, Tingi Alonis, who wrote the theme song for the show, Unity, he's strongly believes in all that kind of stuff. And in the Bible, it also said that a third of the world's oceans would die. And he told me at the time that there were millions and millions of fish washing up around the Gulf and also all the way up the eastern seaboard of the United States, and with millions of shellfish washing on shore every day in Pakistan.
Interesting. It would be interesting to get some real data on whether or not an admission of sorts, right? Indeed, because there's so many nations live from the ocean. I mean, their sustenance is is from the ocean. And, wow, yeah, that's just the scariest prospect to think of. And that thought crossed my mind a couple times, too, during that crisis.
And it's in times like these that you really need to think about what's important in your life. And I'm not sure entirely what's so important in my life, but I just want to live, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, being able to live is pretty sweet as, but only really if there's other people around to enjoy it. And supposedly a lot of these things have been concocted, you know, the wars and all of this have been concocted to kill off people. And I could never understand that. For if I could understand it, then I'd have to be a psychopath like the people who came up with it.
Well, I would have to agree with you on that 100%, because if you look at it from a power standpoint, then you understand that the more people there are, and this is an important piece for folks to remember, is that they believe that it is their right to new technologies, their right to command the ideas, and they also believe that they have superior genetics. Through breeding and whatnot, it goes way back to the eugenics movement in the 20s, and so, but it's been disproved in the world. In other words, extreme intelligence has come out of, you know, poverty-stricken areas, and that's a threat to their power. The more people there are, the more people that will have the intellect or the physical ability to work their way out of, work their way out of having to exist at the whim of those who are born into believing there are betters. And they can't have that. They need to control the population so that it doesn't get out of hand, so they don't lose their power. And the ultimate power governing style is a Marxist oligarchy. It permanently separates the elites from the worker classes. In other words, the bureaucratic class all had cars. They all ate well. They all had bigger houses than everyone else, and I'm talking about in the USSR. They had privileges no one else had, and they were exempt from most of the rules. And that's how it will be for the elites, whereas the rest of us will have an equally oppressive life, equally meager goods, but they'll call it fair because it'll be equally meager for all of our meager existence of the worker
class. And they'll play people off against each other, you know. And this is the thing that truly sickens me about socialist ideology and in some sense of the word. I mean, I've got friends who are socialists, but, you know, I decided that variety is the spice of life. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Our very special guest is Doc Bean, and we'll be right back. I can't sing. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com on American Freedom Radio. Our very special guest is Doc Bean. And we've been talking about the doomsday clock and all of this. But I want to go back to something a little lighter. Getting groped before going on to flights. Apparently, this has been happening quite a bit in the US. Anybody see these videos on YouTube about the TSA people, you know, putting their hands under the women's breasts and, you know. And even now, a guy has been asked to let an agent put your hands actually down your pants, beneath your waist. in order to feel around for stuff that's in there. Don't touch my junk.
You know, I got a solution for that, right?
Just a side spray?
I got a solution for that. It might be a little uncomfortable, but I guarantee you they'll only try it with you once. You know, you get one of those adult diapers and buy a can of chili and pour it in there and wear it in there. They'll reach in there one time and they'll remember you forever after that. What can you do, man? I'd sock them. I don't know. How do you not sock them when they do it to your wife? I mean, I'm sorry, folks. If somebody groped my wife, it would freak me out. I think that most folks that have wives that would probably freak out the same way, you know? And, where do we live now? And what is going on here in this country when they can tell you they can reach in your inside your pants? If I said that to you on the street and you didn't know me, you'd sock me or spray me with mace and run away, I would think.
The TSA agent himself was absolutely embarrassed for having actually even asked the man to do it, you know. He apologized profusely to the guy. And this is the funny thing about obedience to authority, is what I was getting into before. It just all rolls back into the same thing again, doesn't it? when you just obey people and you don't have any, you know, form of common decency, there's no telling what atrocities you could be comfortable with committing.
Or what you would be to me, it's desensitization to... Basically, what it's telling you is that we can do anything we want to you, and you just have to submit. It's instilling in people the idea that they must always submit. Always submit. Nothing. If the government is telling you it's right, you always submit, and that's where it gets really dangerous. That's where a country like Germany, where you find out later that most of the people were appalled at what was going on there, but they just went along with it because their government said so, and that's what you were supposed to do, and that's how you end up with. Scenarios like Stalin's death camps, or the camps in Germany, or Mao's slave labor camps, you know, the Gulag. That's how you end up with those kinds of things when everything is acceptable because the government says so.
And, the people who would actually do it just because they're told to. Imagine the potential for abuse here. I mean, and it's just totally unnecessary. I mean, how many people have actually really even bombed planes that weren't got onto the plane by the CIA or something? Very few.
Yeah, I actually interviewed Kurt Haskell 2 days after... I can't remember the flight number now. It was flight 2-something, where the underwear bomber guy was that supposedly lit himself on fire, that didn't have a burned shirt on and all that kind of stuff. And he saw them, at least his testimony was, he saw them escort, you know, a very well-dressed guy, get this guy through security and onto the plane. And now this is what we have going on. So... it's just amazing. It is amazing to me and highly probable that, you know, the governments do want this kind of intrusion in your lives. I know that in San Jose, California, they're entering into a business agreement with Logitech in order to be able to access all new Logitech cameras for the purposes of fighting crime in San Jose. And think about it, folks. How many of you have a Logitech camera? And if the code will work on small security cameras, then it'll work on your laptop camera. And so imagine the privacy invasion you've got going on there.
Ooh. And that reminds me of what happened in the... what was it? There was a school, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers were spying on the kids at home while they were using their laptops.
And that ended up costing that school district all total with legal fees, $1.2 million. The family got I think it was 600,000, and the legal team got 8. Something ought to tell you something about that too, right? Legal team got more than the family, but looks like San Jose is going to pass it off as law enforcement. So, you know, I don't know. I guess you have to beware of your laptop now too, huh?
Oh, goodness. And even people now are saying that, in fact, you can spy at people through the cameras that are in their in anybody's laptops. Anywhere. Apparently, it's already going on. what have we got? We've also got all these other different surveillance networks like Project Echelon, where the United States, Canada, Australia, and the UK all got together and said, oh, well, we can't spy on our own people, but how about you guys all spy on my people, and then I'll spy on your people for you? And I thought, oh, that was just a swimming idea to analyze and catalog every single email, every single text message, and every single phone call for up to a year tracked on each account. Thank you very much, Big Brother. I feel so much safer. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Peace and love and New World Order harmony. I just want to socialize everybody into a mindless stupor. That would be somewhat fabulous, methinks. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. We're joined by my very special co-host for the first time today, Will Ryan. Will, welcome back.
Thank you, Vinny. Yeah, glad to be back. Sorry about the delay.
Oh,
I can actually blame someone else and make an elaborate story, but I won't.
Oh, go on.
No, it's quite simple, really. It's just a mechanic, just having something done. You know, you think when you book your car in at 8 o'clock in the morning, you'd be fine by lunchtime for just some simple little job, a bit of welding. But no. Everything's on island time, and New Zealand's on island time too.
Well, we are just a mecca of just little islands, aren't we? In fact, most people don't know that New Zealand is, in fact, two islands, apparently. And in fact, there's even more than two. There's a heck of a lot of them. And one of which...
Yeah.
And one of which of these islands are in the Gulf of Auckland. We call... What's it called? The Hauraki Gulf. Has had a little bit of a switcheroony on their voting process. It's called democracy, ladies and gentlemen, where 51% of the population decide what happens to the other 49%.
Yep, mob rule. And people always talk about democracy, not mob rule. Isn't it lucky we have democracy, not mob rule? Do they know what they're saying? I mean, have they thought for like 30 seconds about what they're actually saying? I'm totally against democracy. And you say that, and it's like, you know, it's like you're spawn of Satan for saying that. But, you know, actually, no, democracy spawn of Satan. That's the road to socialism.
Yeah. I mean, there's different types of democracy, like a participatory democracy, where everybody actually has to kind of get a word in or whatever, like Iroquois democracy, for example, is very, very different. You couldn't pass any measure unless everybody agreed, you know, and everybody was represented and got to say their piece. So if anybody was upset about it or didn't understand it or anything like that, they had their chance to say something, and no decision was passed through unless it was unanimous. unanimous.
Speaking of which, is Doc there with us?
Are you, Doc? Apparently not. He's been he's been having some problems with his server, mate. He's been getting hacked.
Bloody feds again, eh?
Many, many times today, man. Just when I first
dirty
called
little
up.
Fingers.
Yeah. And it's terrible, man. I remember one time we were discussing Israel on the show, and lo and behold, some code appears. And I have a relatively skilled programmer at my at my service who is just absolutely integral to Guerrilla Media. He tells me that it's most probably Israeli hacking, and it's like, whoa, they act that quickly, don't they? As soon as they hear it on the air, chink. Yeah, yeah. We've just had confirmation from Doc that his server is crashing, so he's going to see what he can do about that and be back on air with us as soon as he can. Coming up after the break, we've got the news of the day in New Zealand, and believe me, it ain't looking good. But then again, it never does. It's friggin' paradise. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Can't run from a new world order because they will find you. You can only resist them and push them back into the water so they can become slimy, filthy, plastic swirling oceans. Anybody heard about this? There are literally massive tracts of ocean that are just plastic soup. Fish are eating it all up. Birds are eating it all up. But it's still everywhere. In some cases, it's gotten together in these enormous clumps that just float on the surface of the ocean together. And it's interesting, you can actually tell the difference between the colours of the plastics. The colours of the plastics in the Pacifics are mostly the dull blues and dark colours because anything bright gets eaten. Whereas in the southern waters, there's a massive plastic bilge out there consisting mostly of bright colours. Interestingly enough, a company called Electrolux, I believe, has decided to make recycled vacuum cleaners out of retrieved garbage from these particular areas, and they each have their own design. Isn't it great how we can live in a world where we can make art out of our own pollution, or we can make appliances out of our own pollution? We can make stuff that can last forever out of our own pollution. Interesting that this kind of stuff isn't talked about beforehand. It all gets weighted until the point where it's a crisis so that somebody can postulate and benefit from it. Why does everything have to be about personal gain? What happened to making sure that your neighbours and or your family are okay in a crisis? Whatever happened to community? Whatever happened to communication how often do we see each other in person anymore? We're always communicating through Skype and text messaging and telephone calls, but we're not really there. And maybe we're starting to lose touch out there. We're starting to lose touch with what makes us human.
Speaking of being human, just reading through yesterday's question and answer session from New Zealand Parliament on New Zealand News, but our US listeners will still find this entertaining. Our Minister of Finance was asked, you know, was asked by Craig Foss, National, of the National Party, what are the main features of the government's economic growth program and how are they helping to build sustainable economic growth? And his answer is basically, you know, to paraphrase, strengthening the tax system, investment, meaning foreign investment, in productive infrastructure, lifting productivity in the public sector, so public sector jobs. Remember, in the public sector jobs, police, nurses, you know, all that sort of stuff is paid for by the private sector. You don't have a public sector without the private sector because it comes from tax revenue. Strengthening the tax system isn't – see, this video, I'm just going insane here. How can our Minister of Finance say by increasing a sales tax, there's a blanket tax in New Zealand, it's called GST, 15% on everything now, up 2.5% a couple of months ago, is going to increase the strength of the economy, it's going to grow the economy somehow, putting weed mat on all the shoots that are people trying to rise up out of the scum is going to help them rise up out of the scum. It's totally, and then they go through this rationale, Vinny, and it's just so relativist. Once again, he says, even after the GST increase to 15%, the average wage earner in New Zealand has about $15 a week more in their pocket. The top income bracket are about $25 a week better off. What does that even matter when the country's getting loans at about $1 billion a week? What does that even matter? $1 billion, you divide that by 4 million people and you work out the interest repayments on $1 billion. And then you're arguing over 15, 25 bucks against the inflationary curve. That's nothing.
Yep. And just recently in New Zealand history, it's been quite fabulous to observe that not only is the government giving everybody a tax cut, but they're also piling us with carbon taxes and extra taxes on vehicle registrations and various other things. So that means your personal tax cut gets eaten up and then some after everything is balanced out. And guess who gets all the cream off the top of the cake? They don't know!
They don't know. Climate change.
They don't know.
There are people, there are ex-politicians and talkback radio, not to name any names in New Zealand, who might not be bad people, who might be quite personable individuals, but are freaking idiots, like literal idiot. A lot of people have lost the meaning of the word idiot, what an idiot means. I really mean it, idiots. But there are some other people who are actually quite smart and scheming and intellectually evil. And accidents don't account for the architecture of the financial system. Accidents account for how it is promulgated, how the lies are continued on, how people never learn, how people never wake up. Yeah, stupidity and ignorance and accidents play into that hemisphere. But when you actually get to the design of how New Zealand has a financial system and it does, how America has a financial system it does, even though you fought a war against the British so it wouldn't. When you actually get into the nitty-gritty, you'll find that it's completely by design. And so in New Zealand, when we have this grand ex-Federal Reserve man who was one of only four people to be personally appointed by Alan Greenspan. You know, I know this guy is not a monkey. I know this guy, John Key, is not a monkey. He is a demon. You know, he is purposefully, intellectually, knowingly, deceitfully lying and manipulating and benefiting himself by lying about how many shares he's had in certain companies. He lied three times over the number of shares that he held in a New Zealand, in a now government-owned rail company called Transrail. He said it was 25,000 shares he had, personally. He then said it was 50,000. He then said, oh, maybe 100,000 before the particular TV3 interviewer was cut off. He quadrupled the number of shares he had, and that was him lying still. Who knows how many million dollars he made once the government then bought out this company at the taxpayer's expense and the share price went up. And they go, oh, you know, the Italians are corrupt. They change governments like musical chairs. The Italians are a bunch of, you know, this and that, and they're all corrupt. The South Americans are corrupt. The Chinese are corrupt. Wait a minute, have a look right here. You don't need to look at case studies overseas. All these stupid students at Auckland University, you don't know squat from squat. You know, like, Vinny, you know, do you understand? Can you rationalize why university students our age, who are meant to be open-minded, the best of the best at the School of Economics in downtown Auckland, why they can't work any of this stuff out? Why they're not joining us at protests?
Oh, probably because they're too busy recovering from their hangovers and playing computer games.
Yeah, Modern Warfare, Call of Duty and all those things, that they're more important than real life, you know. You've got to play out a war in graphics. You've got to live through these social archetypes and movies and stuff because you're too much of a coward, slave, piece of crap to do it in reality.
Well, that's a bit rough, well, but accurate.
I mean, it's literally what it is, you know. Like, okay, play the game for half an hour, have some fun, of course. Enjoy things like that. You know, but do something real too. I know people who do that. But that's not the average person. The average person is, you know, all of these sports are about mimicking battles that tribes used to have amongst each other, mimicking battles you'd have with an enemy. So when people get behind a rugby team, for instance, I'm going for the All Blacks versus England, it's almost a stage for a sort of war, and it plays into that mentality. That's why people get so passionate about it. It plays into a central thing that's in our blood, that's in our genes, but then it plays it out on a really base, nonsensical level where it doesn't actually achieve anything or result in any change. And that's why the Romans made these Colosseums and that, because they know it's based psychology. They know that they could co-opt people's war and instincts and use them and push them into a meaningless realm where the instincts of these strong men who would otherwise be enemies to them would be bashed up against each other, in a Colosseum. Or on a rugby field, or on a soccer field in England, and all the rabble who get behind them. You know, it's just a way to take these minds that would otherwise be against you, that otherwise be probing, that would otherwise be, you know, wearing the same colours against David Rockefeller and Evelyn Rothschild and all this trash, you know. Like, they know that they've got to play us off and play basketball with us. Otherwise, we're going to start playing basketball with their heads, you know. They're totally aware of that. And, you know, you try and say it's the average person, you know, well, you know, apart from losing them in the first sentence, it'd be like, whoa, you're paranoid, man.
Well, I think paranoia is how the world sort of relates to you rather than how the world really is. But we're actually in touch with reality here, aren't we, Will? It's an unfortunate reality, to be sure. But it is reality nonetheless.
We're in touch with a small part of reality, and it's just so overwhelming. No, I can just go in here, and a lot of people wouldn't know what's going through my head seeing me a lot of the day. I seem composed, seem normal. I'm not. I'm looking at the stuff going, whoa, I really want to cut loose here. I just can't believe that we have neurotoxins put in our food and water, and I try and escape from them. I'm on tank water here, and you know I'm trying to live outside of it, but I still can't. If I get some cereal, I know it's got sodium fluoride in it. I know where they treat it at the plant. They wash all the grains in this toxic water. I know that all these heavy metals are coming through in all the fiber and stuff I eat, and all the vegetables and everything, you know. The government can't do that to me. It really pisses me off no end.
Hey, well, the government can, and the government does. You know, that's what governments do.
Yeah, but if I take force upon them, I'll be in the slammer or dead in a second.
Oh, you know, so well, it's, mate, there's plenty of things you can do to mess with the government. Just have a look at Penny Dwight.
I said force, Vinny.
Well, just remember the definition of force.
I said achieving something. Who's got the fluoride out of our water? No one. So let's not pretend that people are winning here.
I mean, have a look at all the little victories, man. You got to actually think about the bigger picture.
Really, I think other people have got to think of the bigger picture. I think the bigger picture is that sodium fluoride is in the water. MSG is in thousands of foods at your supermarket. Dangerous preservatives are, aspartame is. And people who say they have little victories here and little victories there, whilst huge tidal waves of losses come swooping over us, sinking us.
Aha, but in the little victories, there are little lessons that you can learn to help you achieve those bigger victories. Take Penny Bright, for example. All the petitions that she's done before Parliament have had an effect. Even the times that she's been down at the Auckland City Council speaking her mind has had an effect as well.
Yeah. All these things have had an effect, but you're not weighing it up against the effect of the enemy, because the enemy does what Penny does too. You see, they do it in a more organized and process-driven way, because they create the process. You know, but then again,
Penny's only come down to person.
It doesn't come down to individuals. It never comes down to individuals.
Vinny can't cure it.
I can't cure it. Alex Jones can't cure it. Penny Bright can't cure it. No one person can do this. The trash who sit around watching Coronation Street and eating MSG chips and watching rugby, they have to cure it. Because right now they're part of the problem.
Yep, but I would strike at the puppet master rather than the puppet. Think about all the things that everybody can do. Everybody's got a talent of some description. And I think that it does come down to the individual, because it's never taken the majority to overthrow and make a difference in society. It's always been that small, determined minority that really makes a difference.
That's why there's never been a difference in society, Vinny. Yeah, that's why there's never been a true revolution. And that's why there's never been a true society that we can use as a reference point. There's never been, so we can't use history even as an example of what to do.
Because that means that the future's absolutely uncertain. It's been uncertain the whole time, right? But if we're going to weed out corruption, and if we're going to stop people from being lazy, right? And that's basically, as far as I'm concerned, what happens is that certain people get corrupt and certain people get lazy in a society where everything gets given to you.
Look, I've got a, you know, I tell you straight, man, I'm so sick of it. I've got a scum list today, and I know I shouldn't call them that. And I don't hate these people. I don't want to see them dead. That's why I'm trying to warn them. But I've got a list today, and I'm making up an email and a few links, and you know, quite a few links actually. And these are people who have judged me, and they're going to get it back today. And some of them aren't going to be happy, and I'll have to reap the repercussions of that. But they're going to get it back, because this is the time for all this, all the nuances and talks over.
It's time for action. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com.
you with diamond, diamond, and I hope you like diamond too. And the rules ain't no vow, we can do it anyhow. I and I will see you through, 'cause every day we pay the price, we're the living sacrifice. Diamond till the jam is through.
Yeah, we're sick of the jam, man. What you want? Yeah, jamming on the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Very soon, many people are saying that there will be a war of some epic proportion. And lots of fear will be assembled through this. And God knows what people are going to be forced to put up with. Sounds about right to me. I could conceivably think, right, that perhaps the governments will use the fear of nuclear annihilation to pass draconian measures so that they can surveil on everybody. You know, like the better dead than red adage. Make sure everybody's spied on and kept very, very under taps, because the general public being able to think for themselves and act in their own interest is just, oh, well, it's against the government's interest if the people be able to do that.
See, it's people, Vinny, I think it's that people think, no one wants to think they're stupid. If you did a poll and you went around, and these have been done, and you went around and asked people, are you intelligent or not? Most people are going to say they're above average intelligence, but that can't statistically be true. Most people can't be above average. Well, that's what you'll get if you did a poll and you had, are you genius, smart, above average, average, below average, retarded? You'd come out with an average above average.
Has there ever been like a worldwide intelligence test? Because that'd be very interesting to just find out just how dumb everybody is.
And I don't think people are stupid. I just think, I don't know, man. But I do think they have responsibility for their own minds, if nothing else. If someone goes and takes a hammer and goes and whacks someone in the side of the head with it, society judges them and says they should be in prison. They should be out of the general population for our safety and for their safety. And I would tend to agree with that. I don't know about prison. That's a hard one. But I would tend to agree that some people probably shouldn't be around the rest of us. But similarly, I really believe people are what they think, and you're responsible for what you think. And there are some people who think they are free for convenience sake. And they're not free, and they're not free-thinking. They wear tokens of freedom. They believe in rights of some exotic group of people. They wear little badges on certain days when it's the day to care for them.
Everybody uses a little bit of symbolism in their everyday life to symbolize that I care, when in actual fact they don't care in the least.
Most of them, a lot of them don't. I'm not being too cynical here, but a lot of these people really, really, really don't. And they'll say, how can you say that? Well, how I can say that is, when I say the water's poison, they laugh and they don't look into it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and when I say that the cancer rate's out of control, they say, oh, well, we just got better detecting of it now.
Yeah, it's insane. It's totally... And so that's what I mean, Vinny, when you say it's not their fault. You need to go after the elite, the Illuminati, the Masons, the Jesuits, the whoever. I say no. I actually have more respect for them on certain levels, because at least they're smart enough to know what the hell this is all about. They've chosen this side. They're evil people. Whatever. They want us dead. Yeah, but I can't actually go and knock on their door. But my neighbor, I can. And when our neighbor says no,
so then go on to the next person. Okay,
yeah,
it's just,
neighbor,
as far as I'm concerned, it's just like in sales.
But if your neighbor attacks you, when people go out of their way and they use their energy to attack people to try and do something good, like the thousands of people that go and harass Charlie Veach or Luke Radowski and all these guys, I say, well, no, that's not good enough. You expect a bit of fire back. You picked on the wrong people. No, it's not. This isn't some free love hippie movement. I hope not. Anyway, I mean, love's a big part of it, and but there isn't love without the opposite. Sadly, they're responsible for the way they think, Vinny. And if they think that a murderer is a good man, and they're going to vote him into power, and so that this good man murderer can have his way with innocent women and children, then they should bear the responsibility of that. And that means that you and I should be able to say what the hell we want to them. Because they do what the hell they want to us.
Ah, but then we're no better than them if we do that, bro.
No, we are better than them because we're doing it in righteousness. You see, now they won't like it. They'll hate that word. But see, we are better than them because it comes down to, is there a right and is there a wrong? And is it wrong to kill babies? Is it wrong to sterilize people with mercury and fluoride? Yes. And so their doing isn't as valid as our doing. It's not an equal measure. These people are wrong. They need to be told they're wrong, and they need action against them. And you know what I mean? It's not becoming like them, because it's doing it out of love, not evil. It's doing it out of caring for innocent people, not wanting to destroy them before they even know who they are. Destroy them as their little seeds before they can grow into trees. That's how evil they are.
I would think plant a seed and then see if it grows, and if it doesn't, come back and plant another one. The gently approach. Because I've seen how bad family feuds can get. And, when people are really close to you or in their proximity, these kind of things can become very, very big and very, very quickly because it's the I've got to do something mentality. That honor that is supposed to be there for everything can sometimes destroy everything.
Yeah, I think there should be mutual respect between all, and we should all honor each other's sovereignty and our right to think differently and our right to agree and disagree. The thing is, we've got tyranny being passed here in New Zealand. There is tyranny being passed in the United States. Tyranny means someone else is running your life. Someone else
but
is deciding.
That tyranny is not being passed by the average person in your street.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Who else is doing it? Is the ether doing it?
Well, who else is doing it other than the people that are actually directly in control, the government, the media, and all the socialized systems that have co-opted
the control with consent. That's the problem, Vinny. They didn't just get in control with consent and then run rampant against everyone's will. They get in control with consent, and then most people still agree with them once they're in power doing the things they do. That's the insanity. That's where you've got to draw the line. Is if you elect some Hitler and then he starts killing everyone and everyone says, oh, sorry, we made a mistake, that would be okay. That's giving people a chance, you see. But people have had their chances. They haven't learned, oh, we gave the Federal Reserve the reins. Oh, we let John Key spy on us all and tap our emails. Oh, I'm sorry, we're going to learn from that. No, they just want to keep making the mistakes. And when it starts crossing over into my liberty, that's when I have the right to say, oi, get the hell out of my life. Get the hell out of my way. Get the hell out of my life. Or else. There has to be consequence. There are consequences to all of our actions. If you break the speed limit, there are consequences. Why shouldn't there be consequences vice versa?
I guess it's because people are afraid to take the responsibility of dishing out consequence by their own hand, getting their hands dirty. You know, and I guess that's the thing. We're afraid to intervene, man. A lot of the times, you know, somebody will be beaten. So, remember that video, man, of the socialists who were preaching about, you know, no racism, beating a guy up with their signs and in broad daylight with all the.
That's what I'm talking about, man. This is what I'm talking about. Like, we need to defend our stuff, man. Like, I'm seriously, like, freedom of speech needs to be defended. You can say what you want. You can't go around killing people and stuff, but that's what the system ultimately does. Now, when I've come out saying things about fluoride on boards and stuff, and I've been, for one point, for like 3 weeks of my life, about 8 months ago, I was attacked with such vitriol by about three individuals who live about 100 Ks from my house. Yeah. And they attacked me with such vitriol across multiple email accounts. And this one of them was a magazine editor. I couldn't believe it. I basically didn't know what to do for a point there. And luckily the thread went cold. But, you know, it needs to be – you've got to fight fire with fire sometimes. I've got to realize, okay, you just can't go through life being a nice guy. These people are murderers. They're psychotic killers. And there are people in the public who think like them too. They've conditioned the public to the point where a lot of the members of the public are Illuminati, almost. They think the same. They all want us to be bisexual. They're all disgusting. I mean, they believe in total taxation. They believe in collective sacrifice. They pretty much, everything's a means to an end. They pretty much are just little atom worships running around. And there's, you know, there's a core of them in society, man. They're dangerous, evil people. I see them. You know, they're cretins, and they hate people like me and you, Vinny. They hate us with a vengeance. You've got enemies out there you don't even know.
Well, the thing is, I'm not focused so much on my enemies as I am focused on, serving the people who oppose them, you know, because I think that everybody's got a talent and you've got to do what you can do the best you can do, right? You've got to make do with what you got. And I'm not 100% sure that at any point in my life have I been doing the best that I can do. For all intents and purposes, I may never know. But it seems right at the time. And that's what I try to kind of get through with this life, is to try and do the right thing. And those who really don't want to do the right thing by me, and there have been numerous people like that, I go, next. Not keen anymore. Just don't contact them. Don't ever call them. Nothing. Don't care. There's no point. They're poison, toxic. Not worth my time.
No, I agree with that method.
I feel a heck of a lot of time. Oh yeah.
No, I agree that I agree with you totally. And you know, as we said multiple times on the show, you know, Vinny really took the bull by the horns, and he's done just a lot, and he's done it out of his gut, telling what the right thing to do is. You know, when a trick you learn in exams is when you're asked a question, or when you read a multi choice question, the answer that pops into your head first is normally the right thing to do. And this has been proven in studies also. And in likewise in life, doesn't mean always, doesn't mean you rush hastily into everything, but usually the right thing comes to you pretty fast and you know it. And it's kind of, you know, it's literally a gut feeling, I suppose, hence the term. And Vinny has acted in the right way upon his gut feelings. And, you know, that's something a lot of people can't do, because we've got all these worldly barriers in the way of that. You have to have this job. You have to follow the structure. You have to do this. You have to live a certain way.
And you have to be prepared to realize that, oh, my God, the whole time I've been wrong. A lot of people can't do that. You can't admit that you've been wrong about everything the whole time, because it makes you feel really stupid. And I thought, well, hey, what a brilliant idea. I could just go around and feel stupid. And I'll at least be living an accurate lifestyle. And I'll be able to learn stuff that I would never be open to before, because I was just so stupid.
Yeah, but everyone's got to be able to eat humble pie and just go, wow, you know. I like to, before I become a conspiracy nut job, I like to believe in a lot of these things and enjoy a lot of the things I see are disgusting now. you know, a whole lot of it. Like, whole world view changes, doesn't it?
Yep. Shame about that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will. Chow with the digga digga, whatever that means. This in from the Washington Examiner. Since the TSA molested my family, why doesn't Obama volunteer to subject his family to the same security procedures? 2 weeks ago, my wife flew alone out of Colorado with our two young children, unaware that the TSA had instituted new and incredibly invasive new security procedures. My wife called me distressed after getting frisked by the TSA. Or as my wife put it, in some cultures, I would be married to my screener by now. She was joking, but make no mistake, my wife was incredibly disturbed by how intimate a security pat-down she received. And not only that, but we also have pat-downs of screaming toddlers. Yeah, that right. That toddler's going to be sporting a 9mm, you know, little toddler terrorist wrapped in a towel conveniently.
What about the number of times, Benny, number of times all around the world, particularly in the States and UK, obviously, where little kids, like 7, 8, sometimes 4 years old, have been held by authorities because they've got the same name as some villain they're after. No, and this is obviously someone who didn't commit all the bank jobs and didn't go around, you know, killing people and, you know, it's just a little kid. And they hold them there. This is what I mean about process-driven bureaucrat scum that are in the public, sort of people who become parking wardens and low-life cops and stuff. Like, that they... I'm not against all police. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I mean, they... They're so process-driven. They see your name, sir. Yep, filling out the form here. Yep, details. Yep, same brown hair, brown eyes. Yep, he's a terrorist, confirmed. I mean, they're just mentally ill. You know, like insane, stupid. Or, you know, the mum's screaming. Look, it's just my kid. You must have got the name wrong. No, ma'am. No, be calm. Be calm. Have to have you arrested also. You be calm now and you'll get your kid back within 72 hours. He'll be fine.
Calm down or I'll taser him in the eyeball.
You know, stay calm. Drugs. Stop being so, you know, disorderly. We can't have disorder.
Well, I've been arrested for this. We can't have disorder. We have to be able to feel up your children.
Unsurprisingly to our audience, I've been arrested for disorderly behavior twice. Happy to say that on here. Take them as little war badges, little medallions, purple hearts. But,
you should see them when
they've never stuck because anything would be just defined disorderly. Now, I got roughed up by a couple of cops in a car park one night, And then they said I was resisting and disorderly towards them. Mason Judge just laughs it out of court. Huh?
Well, how nice of them.
But it's just, this is the process driven. If you can make adult humans do that to little kids and pat down women against all odds. Like Reuters ran a poll the other day, and on November 14th, as of 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 97% of respondents disagreed with the increased Gestapo-like behavior at airports. 97% of people. Even in a democracy, that would be seen as a fair vote.
You see, people have confused democracy with being able to have your say. Democracy doesn't let you have your say in any way. It tells you what your choices are.
That's the proof, Vinny. That's the proof right there. Oh, people say, oh, but that's not a binding poll. It's just a random poll. Well, why isn't it binding? Why isn't the government bound to what 97% of people have to say? It's just like I turn on the BBC last night and I see that disgusting royal family plastered all over it because Prince William is getting married to that Kate Middleton horse-like animal. You know, like, and I have to sit there and watch this royal wedding procedure and all the rigmarole and all these little fakes shuffling around trying to get in on the fame.
Currying favour.
It's just so sick, man. It's so sick. Why is their wedding any more important than anyone else's? Oh, because they're the evilarchy, I suppose.
The evilarchy. And they get up to all kinds of malarkey.
So I'm going to have to hear all these fluoro brains around me instead of talking about, you know, being medicated and having terror acts pass on us and the government being able to spy on us in our homes now. I'm going to have to listen to them talk about some freaking wedding of a bunch of Satanists getting together. You know, like, I mean, it's sad, man. You know, I actually have a friend whose girlfriend is friends with Kate Middleton. You know, I actually know people around these. It's scary. It's scary. It's like, it's just
all beyond around belief, here, right?
Have you turned on the TV and seen that? Have you seen these horse-like animals carrying around her?
Unfortunately, I have not.
Treat yourself, man. Turn on BBC. Treat yourself.
Treat myself to a little bit of horse currying favour. The only favour I want from her is her to buy me a curry. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on American Freedom Radio at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Send us some feedback to the show. In fact, we've never had any bad feedback to the show. Give us a bad feedback.
Some blue blood royalty. Some blue blood going from Britain. Please send us a feedback.
Producer at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. And if you're brave enough, we'll see you again tomorrow.